Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about a significant event happening right now in the lives of over a billion people around the world. What is that event? That event is Ramadan. And we as Christians, of course, don't celebrate Ramadan. A lot of us wonder what in the world's going on with Ramadan. And Ramadan is in the news more this year than other years because of the current war going on between Israel and Hamas. And so we want to understand what Ramadan is, what happens in Ramadan, and how Ramadan affects the people who are living currently in Israel. And there's a significant effect on them every year, but this year in particular. So let's dive into it here. Ramadan is takes place in the ninth month of the Islamic calendar. Now, the Islamic calendar is like the Jewish calendar. It's moon-based, all right? So Ramadan goes from one crescent moon to the next in the ninth month of the Islamic calendar. And a crescent moon, in case you're not familiar with that, a crescent moon occurs one day after a new moon. And you may have to look up what a new moon is. I'll let you do that if you're interested. But anyway, because of this lunar calendar, Ramadan moves around in regard to our own Gregorian calendar. So it moves about 12 days earlier every year. So this year, Ramadan begins on March the 10th of 2024. So that means that next year, it's going to begin at the end of February. The following year, it'll begin at the beginning of February or the middle of February, depending how you count 12 days, and around it goes. So in 33 years, the dates of Ramadan cycle through the whole year. So it can come, in other words, at any season of the year, winter, spring, summer, fall, because it's constantly cycling through the calendar every 33 years. So this year, Ramadan begins March 10th. It's Sunday, March 10th. As I'm recording this, Ramadan is beginning. So there you have it. In Ramadan, what happens during Ramadan? Well, officially, what happens during Ramadan, the major thing you would notice if you were living in a place with a lot of Muslims is fasting. Fasting from dawn until sunset. So it's not a 24-hour fasting, but for one whole month, every day, Muslims do not eat or drink anything from dawn until sunset. Do you know what it's like to not eat and you get kind of hangry, as they say? Hungry, angry? Well, Muslims are getting hungry, angry for 30 days. There's a billion Muslims getting hangry during Ramadan. It's a difficult thing to pull off. Now, there's some exceptions. Pregnant women, nursing moms, very ill, that kind of thing. But basically, Muslims, faithful Muslims, are fasting. And that's not only food, but water also, from dawn till sunset. That's the major thing you would notice. There's also additional prayers. It's supposed to be a time for reflection, a time for community amongst Muslims. That's the theory, at least. That's what Ramadan is to be about. And for, I'm sure, many, many, many Muslims, that is exactly what it's about. Why Ramadan? What makes that month special? Why that month? Kind of like, why do we celebrate Christmas December 25th? Well, there's a reason why Ramadan is special for Muslims. The month of Ramadan commemorates Muhammad's first revelation that he received. Islamic tradition says that that revelation was received by him in 610 AD. So that's 600 years after the life of Jesus. And Muhammad was visited by the angel Gabriel in that month. And Gabriel, this as the story goes, revealed to him the words of Allah, the exact words of Allah, which then he wrote down. Well, he didn't write them down, but eventually they got written down and became the Quran. And those revelations happened in a cave near Mecca, which is in modern-day Saudi Arabia. We've talked about this before. We have a couple other videos about Islam. If you're interested in checking those out, go to Eagles on the Hill on our YouTube page. Just search for Eagles on the Hill. And there's playlists there. Look for the playlist on Islam. But one of the interesting things about this first revelation that Muhammad received is that Muhammad believed that it was demonic. That was his sense as he was receiving this revelation. And his wife, Khadijah, convinced him, no, this is not demonic. This is from God. And so with her convincing him, he then began to receive these revelations, as the story goes. We've commented before, as we talked about this, how that's a very interesting, has some interesting similarities with what happened in the Garden of Eden. Who was it that convinced Eve and then Adam to eat the fruit of the tree and to fall into sin? It was the wife. And so here Khadijah is convincing Muhammad, as the story goes, that this revelation is from God and not demonic. Very interesting. Anyway, during these hours of fasting, Muslims are to refrain from tobacco products, sexual relations, any kind of sinful behavior, and devote themselves to prayer and to study of the Quran. The end of the Ramadan fast is one of the two highest holy days for Muslims. It's in English called the Feast of the Fast Breaking, because they're breaking the fast. It's one of the two major holidays on the Muslim calendar. This year, that will occur on April the 9th of 2024. So March 10th, it begins. April 9th is when Ramadan ends this year. Now, Ramadan sounds like it would be a time, except for the fact of being hungry and maybe angry, sounds like a time for a lot of pious reflection, a lot of good things happening. However, each and every year, Ramadan becomes an occasion for violence. Particularly is this the case within the nation of Israel. You may or may not be aware, but 2 million Arabs live in Israel. Most of them are Muslim. Some are Christian, but most of them are Muslim. When you go throughout Israel, you can hear the calls to prayer emanating from the mosques all over the country. That might surprise those of you who have not been to Israel, because we hear about Israel being an apartheid country, but actually 2 million Arabs live there. Again, most of them are Muslim, and you can hear calls to prayer 5 times a day from the mosques, coming out from the mosques 5 times a day there in Israel for the Muslims to know when to pray in Israel. Of course, there's also millions of Muslims that live in Gaza and also in the West Bank area, which is not officially part of Israel, although Israelis call that Judea and Samaria. So what happens on Ramadan is that Arabs want to go and pray on what Israel calls the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is in East Jerusalem. It is in the Old City of Jerusalem. It is the size of about 40 football fields, so it can hold 100,000 plus people there up on the mount praying. So Ramadan in particular, and particularly the Fridays of Ramadan, are when Muslims by the 100,000s come to pray on the Temple Mount. Well, you can imagine when you have 100,000 hungry, angry people, and a lot of them young single men, a lot of them believing that Israel is occupying their land, that Israel should not be there. You get all those people together and you can have a very volatile situation. So Israel faces that, the whole community faces that every year. And this year in particular can be quite dangerous. So this year, on the eve, as we get into this Muslim holy month of Ramadan, Jerusalem's old city bears a few of the usual hallmarks of festivity because of what's going on in Gaza. A lot of the shops in the old city are shuttered because there's not very few tourists there to buy things from the shops. A lot of the usual lights and lanterns and all of that that would hang outside of Muslim shops in the old city are simply not there. Ramadan preparations in Jerusalem, which is, of course, the spiritual heart of this very old Israeli-Palestinian conflict, they're very subdued because of the Israeli-Hamas war in Gaza. Over the next month, attention is going to shift a little bit from Gaza to the Temple Mount and to what is on the Temple Mount. Currently, two things are there. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is there. That is where worshipers will gather and spill out into the rest of the Temple Mount area. And also the Dome of the Rock is on the Temple Mount. And that's a flashpoint for escalating tensions between Israelis and Palestinians. When Hamas attacked on October the 7th, they called it, the attack, the Al-Aqsa Flood, because what they were trying to do with the attack is stir up both the West Bank Arabs and the 2 million Arabs that live within Israel, who are citizens of Israel. They were trying to stir them up by saying, we are doing this to protect and guard Al-Aqsa. Well, of course, they weren't protecting and guarding Al-Aqsa at all. And as it turned out, Israel very quickly clamped down on the terrorist groups in the West Bank. And surprisingly, shockingly to me and to many, the Israeli Arabs, that is the 2 million Arabs that are Israeli citizens, did not rise up against Israel. In fact, very subdued reactions in those communities because, in part, they realized that they too were being attacked by Hamas, that it was not just Israelis, Jews who were killed on October 7th, but it was Arabs who were killed. It was Bedouins who were killed. It was people of all kinds of nationalities that were killed. It was just simple terror that happened on October the 7th. So, will there be restrictions on Palestinians, Arabs, to go onto the Temple Mount over this next month? It seems, as we sit here today, that the restrictions will be no more than usual. And by usual, I mean that there are some restrictions, particularly on West Bank Palestinian young single men, from going up there, because they're the ones that typically, in the past, have been involved in the rioting, involved in the troublemaking there. So, typically, what Israel will do is allow the elderly, allow the children, allow the women to go freely to the Temple Mount. And that seems to be the case this year, even though there are significant security concerns. And if anything starts to happen, of course, then Israel will have to decide, are we going to clamp down on this, which will play into Hamas's hands, because Hamas will say, look at that, we're defending Al-Aqsa Mosque, or will Israel just deal with some of the situations that occur? It's a challenging time in Israel, a challenging time on the Temple Mount over this next month. And so we want to be in prayer as, well, just as people, but particularly as Christians who care about peace, who desire for there to be open and free worship, even though it's worshiping a false god, but nevertheless desire there to be freedom of worship. That's one of the values that we hold dear as Christians, as Americans. So we want to pray that peace will be maintained on the Temple Mount over these next this next month. So that's an encouragement to us to be able to pray for that. Just a word about what happens on the Temple Mount. There's been this formal arrangement on the Temple Mount where Israel is in charge of the security on the Temple Mount, but a Jordanian-based Muslim body called a Waqf, the Jordanian-based Muslim body is in charge of worship that happens on the Temple Mount, and therefore, neither Jews nor Christians are free to worship on the Temple Mount. When we go to the Temple Mount, when I've been there, we're not free to take Bibles there. We are prohibited from praying, so we make sure we don't fold our hands lest we cause a riot up on the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is the only place in Jerusalem, in Israel, where there is not freedom of worship. And why not? Because it's controlled by the Jordanian Muslim Waqf. That's why there's no freedom of worship there. There is freedom of worship throughout Israel, throughout Jerusalem, with the exception of on the Temple Mount. You may or may not have known that, but there you go. Learn something new every day. So we keep it in prayer. That's the point of this session on Ramadan, really, is to tell you about Ramadan, but also to encourage you to be keeping that area, particularly the Temple Mount, Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Dome of the Rock, Muslims coming and going, Israelis living there, the Old City. Keep that place in prayer over the next month, that calm would remain, that peace would be restored in that area. And that, if that happens, will go a long way toward ending this war in Gaza and also limiting what happens from Hezbollah in Lebanon. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that today, but that's in other videos that you can go and watch. Well, that's what we got for you today at Eagles on the Hill. We want to encourage you to write us, eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you think, what you've learned from this podcast, what other topics you'd like us to talk about. Remember, as we close, that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. and they will fly on wings like eagles. That's our prayer for you today. Thanks for listening.